Now, Malachi chapter 3, if you will. Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to speak on a subject matter that probably you don't hear much in churches nowadays because preachers are a little bit timid and shy about it. I look at it as something that God's children need to know and embrace and obey. And why would I not want you to know something? Why would I not want you to embrace something? And why would I not want you to obey something? And so subject matter this morning is what the tither proves. What the tither proves. Malachi chapter 3, and let's look at it contextually, beginning with verse 8. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Now, as you read that immediately, you might say, oh, I hope not. I hope that no man would be silly enough, foolish enough to rob God. But the Bible says, yet ye have robbed me. Now, of course, he's speaking to the people here, and he's about to get down to where they live. The Bible says, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. That's where you've robbed me, in tithes and offerings. He says in verse 9, the Bible says, you're cursed with a curse. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that when a person robs God of tithes and offerings, that God says, now here's the deal. You've robbed me, and here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to curse you with a curse. Well, that's what God says. The Bible says, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I've often wondered about that. Okay, I understand that when a person doesn't tithe, they rob God. I understand that. I understand that when a person doesn't give an offering, God impresses their heart, leads their heart by way of the Holy Spirit through the teaching and the preaching of the Bible, and God impresses their heart to give an offering, and they don't give the offering that God told them to do. I understand that God says, okay, you didn't obey me, and now I'm going to curse you. I understand that. But where I had difficulty in understanding is, how is it that you rob the whole nation? Well, you think about it. When a person gives their tithe and the offering through the local church, which is the only institution that God teaches that they should give it through, then the gospel does not go out. When the gospel doesn't go out, not only do you rob your nation, but you rob other nations. Right. Because they're now void of the gospel that you just stole from them. So it's a pretty serious matter, I would say. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, he says, as these verses I read a moment ago as we began our service, and I will rebuke the devourer. So to whom does he rebuke the devourer for? Well, he rebukes the devourer for those people that are right with God and bringing their tithes and offerings through the local church. He says this, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall he cast. It says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all the nations. Now, first off, we've gone from robbing the nations, okay, by not giving the tithes and offerings, to giving the tithes and offerings, and now there's a different response where he says this, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye are a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Years ago, read the story, a young man started a business. He went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, would you pray? Would you please pray? Would you pray that God would bless my business? He said, I want to please God. And so the preacher looked at him and said, now, I'll be glad to do that. He said, well, I promise you, preacher, that I'll tithe and I'll give offerings as God leads me to give the offerings. I'll be obedient to God and tithe as I'm supposed to do that. And so, oh, did God ever begin to bless his business? His business grew and grew and grew. And before you know it, he was bringing in $6 million a year. And he came back to the pastor and he said, I just want you to know, every time I write that tithe check for $600,000 that I give through the local church every year, he said, it just bothers me. I just don't see that I can do that anymore. Well, the wise pastor said, well, I do have a solution to that. Let me pray with you that God would cause your business to fail so that you can begin to go back to where you were and you feel comfortable in tithing on the little bit that you get, and that would be the solution. Well, the businessman, of course, said, oh, no, I feel really good about tithing. And so can I tell you that isn't it something how we are? It seems like that when we have little, we trust God because we know the principles of God, how that God will bless and even give you more, because God does do that. But isn't it amazing how that when we become people of circumstance, and the circumstance that we're walking in now is a circumstance of obeying God, and God begins to bless us, and now that we have lots of funds, isn't it something how a person says, "Well, now I don't want to do right by God." Isn't that amazingly wrong? You know, let's study it this morning. What does the tither prove? I'm going to give you some statements. I hope you'll follow along. Statement number one, the tither proves that he believes God's book. He proves that he believes God's book. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, tithing is taught. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says all scripture, that does include the Old Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, verse 17, says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we understand that God taught it in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see that Abraham commenced it, if you would please. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And blessed be the Most High God," it says, "which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." So Abraham commenced it. Then you see about Jacob. Jacob vowed it. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And blessed be the Most High God, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. I gave him tithes of all." And so he vowed it. Then you see the law commanded it. We're in the Old Testament right now. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And if any man will at all redeem aught his tithes, he shall add thereto," it says, "a fifth," it says, "part thereof." I think that's where the stores years ago, you know, let's say that you went down and you bought something on credit at Sears many years ago when it first started as Sears and Roebuck, you know, or maybe at JCPenney's, or maybe at one of the other outlet stores that was, you know, a brick and mortar store that we had many years ago, and that's all we had. And what you would do is you'd buy something on credit. When you'd buy something on credit, if you didn't pay your credit card on time, they would charge you for that. They would add more, a percentage, if you will. Well, that's what God is teaching here for those that don't do what they're supposed to do. And I think that's where that came from. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And concerning the tithe," that says, "of the herd and of the flock." That's amazing to me, because years ago when I pastored in Tennessee, we had a guy by the name of Walter Hudgens. Walter Hudgens. Walter Hudgens was a unique man in our church. Not everybody lived this way, but Walter did. And so Walter lived off of that which was the crops. He did not operate with money. He operated with produce. And so I remember Walter, oftentimes he would bring eggs to the church. Oftentimes, I remember one time Walter brought a chicken to church, and he would bring different things. And what he did is he tithed off of his produce. He said, "Now, Pastor," he said, I'm tithing just like everybody else." And so he'd bring 10% of his eggs, or in one time that one chicken, you know. And what he would do is he would tithe off that. Well, did you know that oftentimes people did that in the olden days? Now, can I tell you this? Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches here, it says that of the herd or of the flock, even it says, "Whatsoever that passeth under the rod," he said, "the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. That's where we get the teaching or the understanding, if you will, please, that we tithe off of things that God gives us. Such as, if God gives me a suit, somebody through their kindness says, Pastor, I'd like to buy you a suit. And somebody does that, all right, what I do is I go figure up how much the suit cost, and I'm going to give a tithe off of that. Why? That's like the herd. That's like the cattle. And so I'm going to tithe off of what God gives us. We've taught our children to do that. We're presently helping our children to teach our grandchildren to do that. All right? The Bible talks about how not only was it the law that we commanded, but Jesus endorsed it. Listen to this. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse 23. The Bible says, Woe unto you, scribes. Now, who's he talking to? He is talking to a religious group that is not saved. He's talking to nine Christians. Now, here's what he says. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, religious group here, those that have the raiment of religion, but they don't have that which is the heart of being a Christian. And so, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cinnamon, the Bible says, and have omitted the weightier matters. Listen to the wording here. Omitted the weightier matters of the law. And he describes what the weightier matters are, judgment, mercy, and faith. The Bible says, these ought ye to have done. Okay, then he says, and not to leave the other undone. So they were tithing. These were lost people. They were religious, but lost. They were tithing. Now you say, well, why in the world? Well, I guess that even lost people breathe God's air. We had one of our men that preached to some poor people one time and said, you ought to tithe. And some people that were professing believers got onto his case, saying, you ought not to teach people that are poor to tithe. God says here that you should do that. They are still breathing God's air. They're walking on God's soil. Now, can I tell you this? You say, well, I'll tell you what. God still wants to bless them financially. Oh, let me help you, my dear friend. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the area that you sow in is the area that you reap in. You know, a lost person can be kind, and if they're kind, they will reap some kindness. A lost person can be forgiving, and as they're forgiving, somebody's going to forgive them. A lost person can have joy when they walk in a room. Yeah, I did not all of a sudden get birthed into this world at 18 years of age when I got saved. I was a walking, living human being before I was 18 years of age. I knew what it was to have joy before I was 18 years of age. I knew what it was to say with great mannerism, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, before 18 years of age. I knew what it was to have fun before 18 years of age. I knew what it was as I was coming up in a very religious background to tithe. They taught us to tithe in a non-Christian church, taught us to tithe. And God had blessed me before I was 18 years of age and I got saved. So God's principles is for humanity. Here's what we understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, the Bible says, do you not know that they which minister, it says, about holy things, it says, live, it says, of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. So there comes a time when a person steps into a realm of full-time Christian service when they have to live by the means of the gospel as well as give to promote the gospel to others around the world. We remember when our children were just little knee-high to grasshopper looking little kids, you know, and we taught our children the importance of tithing. We gave our children, if I remember correctly, three jars, and sometimes it was cups, and on one cup we'd write the word tithe, on the other cup we'd write the word offering, and on the other cup we'd write the word others. And so they would get their money from doing some things that we would pay them to be able to do, and they would earn it and they would divide it. They put in one cup their tithe, another cup they put their offering, another cup they put others. And of course, that might have to do with other things, or it might have to do with others as individuals, but that was used for another purpose. And so Sunday, they would empty out the tithe and empty out the offering, and we'd help them as they were very, very young to put it in an offering envelope, and they would carry it to Sunday school. Now, what were you doing? We were teaching them the importance of keeping God first in their life, not just by attendance, not just by a focus, but also in their financial world as well. All right? So here's what we understand. We understand that the tither proves he believes God's book. Statement number next. The tither believes, or he proves that he believes God's promises. Look at it. We're in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The Bible says that there may be meat in mine house, to watch it very carefully and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. So what are they doing? They're believing God's promises. They're believing that if they do right, that God's going to open the windows of heaven and God is going to pour them out a blessing. All right? So statement number one, the tither proves that he believes God's book. Statement number two, the tither proves that he believes God's promises. Statement number three, the tither proves that he loves God's church. He loves God's church. The book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. This is the commission of the gospel that's given to the local church. He says this. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's giving them the gospel. What do you do after you give them the gospel? He says to preach this. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then he says, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them, this is discipleship now, teaching them, it says to do after you baptize them, you continue to teach them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and though I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, amen. So the Great Commission, now let me help you out, and we have preachers that watch this live stream, but let me help you out now. The Great Commission is not only to give the gospel. The Great Commission is to give the gospel, somebody receive Christ as Savior, and after they receive Christ as Savior, then they follow the Lord in baptism. By the way, don't send them to a baptismal class and after you feel like that they're ready. No, no, no. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, they that gladly received him were baptized the same day. So in the Bible, you'll see that the Philippian jailer, Philip, if you would please, baptized the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and it was immediately upon conversion, immediately upon salvation. The Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16, was baptized immediately after salvation. Also, Lydia, same chapter, Acts chapter 16, was baptized immediately on the same day, if you will please, that she made a profession of faith receiving Christ. Okay? So when does a person get baptized? A person gets baptized immediately after salvation. Baptism does not take you to heaven, but baptism shows that you're not ashamed of the one who's taking you to heaven. So when a person walks into the baptistry pool, just by walking in, it looks like a cross. You're saying, I believe Jesus died for me. Man of God put you under the water. You're saying, just by doing that, I believe Jesus was buried for me. Man of God raises you up, and thank God they raise you up. But when he raises you up, you're saying, I believe Jesus rose for me. Every single person, I don't care who they are, if they're old enough to receive Christ as Savior, then they're old enough to be obedient to God through the waters of baptism. Okay? And so, here's what we understand. We understand that as a local church, we're supposed to give the gospel. As a local church, we're supposed to baptize people. As a local church, that's why you're supposed to give your tithes and offerings through the local church. Well, I'll tell you what, I know a friend, he says, well, he's an evangelist. He said, I just tithe to myself. No, that's not scriptural. Matter of fact, we had a lady when we were in evangelism. She sent us her tithe check one time. And I sent it back to her with a very kind note. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to get in trouble with God. You're not going to send me your tithe check. I worry about these evangelists that's on the radio programs that says, send your tithe to me. They are out of line. It always goes through the local church. You ought to be very concerned about people that's out there trying to operate outside of the guidelines of the Word of God. Here's what we understand. The Bible teaches here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay? Now, wait a minute. And so as I get under conviction, as I come to an understanding that I'm supposed to tithe, now God says, now wait a minute, I want you to know that I'm going to help you with that. Hello? It's so funny. The ones that have more trouble with tithing the way God says to do it normally is the men. You check it out. In most marriages, it's normally the wife that writes the tithe check. You say, well, why? Because for the man, it hurts too much. He's the guy that gets out there and he earns the dough, and he's thinking, oh, here it goes. All right, but yet, watch this, if you will. Thank God that you got somebody in the house that's willing to take the pen to do that, because what that does is that allows God to bless your home financially. Here's what we understand, and I'll give it to you. We see that God now is writing the local church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, the Bible says, now concerning the collection of the saints. Now, what is happening today? We're at Parkside Baptist Church. You know what that is? That's the collection of the saints. Paul is writing the local church. Read your Bible in context, please. So he's writing the local church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week. Now, what are they doing? They're giving their tithes and offerings upon the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, the Bible says, ye do not know that they that minister, it says, of holy things, it says, live of the holy things of the temple. All right? And it's talking about being partakers. So it goes for the sake of the gospel. The sake of the gospel. Let's get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. Okay? By the way, are you listening to me? That's how come we have the privilege to be able to run buses. We just started a brand new bus route today in Forney. Brand new bus route today. They ran the bus for the first time in Forney. And and by the way, we told them that because we don't want bus routes to cross, now you stay in Forney. Because the tendency is that when we start a bus route, everybody wants to get closer and closer and closer to the church because it's easier. But did you know that just like we're trying to have a missions conference starting on Wednesday, we're supposed to reach everybody with the gospel of Christ. All right, so here we go. The tither proves he believes God's book. The tither proves that he believes God's promises. The tither proves that he loves God's church. Statement number next. The tither proves, if you will, that he loves God more than himself. More than himself. You know, that God comes first. Oh, here's an easy verse for you. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, church, it says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. First. 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 It's amazing to me how somebody said, I need a refrigerator, broke down. And so I've got to have a refrigerator. So here's what I'll do. I'll just skip the tithe this week, and I'll go buy a refrigerator, and God will understand. No, I think you ought to tithe and let God show you that he can help you to find a better deal. You know, that's how come I can deal in our personal life, Dr. Bachman, I can deal with our finances with great, not just integrity, but I can deal with our personal finances with great boldness. Somebody says the other day to me, said, well, how is it that you can be bold with these people that sell the merchandise? Well, and don't get mad at me. Please don't throw sticks and stones at me too much. I'll get Brother Butler to stand in front of me, and that way he can get them for me. But watch this. I know that I can be bold because I'm right with God financially. I know where I stand. Hello? So I can stand with God on stuff, and because I'm trying to save Him money so that I can be able to use money more so for His honor and for His glory, and I know the intent of my heart is to be able to save as much money as I possibly can so it can be used for the gospel's sake, then I don't mind trying to talk somebody down $10,000 on something. It doesn't bother me trying to talk somebody down $20,000 or $30,000 on something. It doesn't bother me trying to, if you would please, get the little things at a cheaper rate. We ordered a refrigerator. It's a $1,500 refrigerator. It was down at Conn's. $1,500 refrigerator. They were 3 months late. I kept calling them. They wouldn't return my call. I'm sure they're good people. But they wouldn't return my call. I'm sure they're busy people. I'm giving them every excuse under heaven right now. But I went down to Conn's and I walked in and I said, look, for 3 months, we've been waiting on a refrigerator. Now, I'm here to get a refrigerator. And you guys, you've drug your feet. I need to leave with a refrigerator today. The food's going to go bad. He said, well, I just don't know. I said, well, we're going to work out something. Get your manager. Let's have a come to Jesus meeting. We're going to talk. Hello. By the time I walked out of there, we're good gentlemen. They gave us a $3,500 refrigerator, even swap. That was nice. That's also God. You say, well, I don't understand it. You know, how come we can be bold to preach the gospel of Christ, but we can't be bold in other areas of life? Might it be that we can't be bold in other areas of life because we ourselves are not right? See, if we stay right, I'm talking about in every area of life, you can be bolder. You ever see somebody that is not bold in their prayer life? It's kind of hard to be bold in your prayer life, my dear friend, if you're not used to praying. You ever see somebody that's not bold in giving out the gospel? It might be that we're not bold in giving out the gospel because we're not used to doing that. I'm saying simply this. Here's what the Bible teaches, that a tither proves that he believes in God's book. A tither believes, if you will please, or proves that he believes in God's promises. He proves that he loves the church. He proves that he wants God first in his life. Then lastly, he proves that he loves lost souls. Lost souls. You know, as we tithe through the local church, and as we see a little bus kid get off of a bus, you had a part in that. You did. As you see, even on Sunday nights when we baptize and Wednesday nights when sometimes people get baptized and people that's received Christ and they take that first step of being an obedient believer and they get baptized. You know, as you're sitting out there, you say, well, I didn't have a part. Oh, yes, you did. You had a big part of that person getting a gospel track. You had a huge part in that bus rolling off the parking lot to pick up some. You said, but I wasn't on the bus. It was just like you were there because you had a part. Here's what the Bible says, James chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible says, brethren, he says, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. So here's a person erring from the truth. And he said, yeah, that's not for me. They've erred. Or they've gotten away from God, especially in this one particular area. And then all of a sudden they get converted. Hello? All of a sudden light comes on. I was discipling somebody in my office this past week, and I was talking with them. We were going over scriptures, and all of a sudden All of a sudden, the light came on. When the light came on, the young lady spoke up. With her and her husband was in there together, and I was discipling them. And the young lady spoke up, and she said this. She said, "I never saw that before." She said, "That's what I've been looking for." And all it was Bible. When the light comes on, oftentimes we say, I got it, I got it. And we get converted over to that truth. Here's what it says in verse 20. The Bible says, "Let him know that he which converteth one sinner from an error," the Bible says, "of his way shall save," watch it, "a soul from death." Didn't say from hell. You know, sometimes when you learn a truth, it saves you from having death. It may be death in your relationship with someone else. It may be death in your business. It may be death in your family. It may be death, yes, maybe, perhaps, even in your finances. The Bible says, shall hide a multitude of sins. When you do right, here's what we understand. God has mercy on you. Isn't it neat? I remember the first time I was a young Roman Catholic boy. You know, I moved back to be with my parents at the age of 6. At the age of 7, I started going to church faithfully with them, and I was raised up in the Roman Catholic faith. And I remember my dad sitting down with me and saying, "Okay, you work on the farm, you earn this much money, here's what you owe God." I never heard that before. I was just a 6 or 6.5 year old boy. And my dad is telling me, "This is what you owe God." I'm thinking, "Ooh, God's mean. What do you mean this is what I owe God? You mean to tell me God..." But I did not understand. I do now, because I'm not 6 anymore. I'm a little bit older than that. And so I understand now the principles that my dad taught me years ago came over for me to understand as I was growing up as a younger child, into an older child, into a preteen, to a teen, to a young adult, single, to a young adult, married, even to this day. And I found this out to be true. God will always do his part if we do our part.